Long. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and love toward us. Thank you for your power that is working in our lives, working in our spirits, souls, and bodies. Thank you for your grace that have been sufficient for us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for the interventions that we got from you after praying. Thank you for the breakthroughs you gave us in difficult places. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making the attacks of the enemy to become useless and impotent against us. Thank you for the peace and joy you have made to fill our heart. Thank you for good health you have given to every one of us. Thank you for divine healings and deliverances we have enjoyed from you. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us, the works of agents of darkness, creatures of darkness, powers of darkness. You have destroyed their works that were devised against us. Thank you, King of Glory. We are here this morning to seek your face, to pray, to learn at your feet, and to trust you for miracles. We ask, O Lord, that you visit everyone that will be part of this program and help everyone in the name of Jesus. We want a change of life and situations, positive changes. Oh Lord, touch every life and change every life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you are going to do beyond our requests. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And they want you to trust God. Trust God for blessings, help, deliverances, healings, even right here this morning. Trust Him. He will definitely answer you. Trust the Lord to bless you. This morning, and He's going to do it. Amen. So we're going to look at the scriptures before we pray. Let us open our Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I'll take it again. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Remember that we started a teaching series on this program, Healing Streams, which goes by the title Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. So today is the part 3 of that teaching, since we didn't have the program last week. So today is part 3. And I'm going to be bringing out the point from this verse, Isaiah 53 verse 5. So I want you to listen very carefully. Point number one, He knew no sin. That is, Jesus knew no sin, but became sin. He knew no sin, but became sin. He knew no sin, but became sin. You know that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross would have been powerless and very weak to take away any sin. If Jesus was a sinful man, if he was a sinful man, his wound, his death, his sufferings, his resurrection, in fact, he would not even resurrect then. He wouldn't resurrect. So if he was a sinful man, his sacrifice would do us nothing. His sacrifice would do us nothing, would bring us nothing. So the sacrifice of Jesus was powerful and is still powerful to today, to this very hour. Because he knew no sin. Because he knew no sin. Not because he was the Son of God or he is the Son of God. No. That was not why the sacrifice has that power. Of course, that was part of it. But that was not the real reason for the power that the sacrifice of Jesus rises. The main reason for that power was because the sacrifice was done in holiness. It was a holy man. He knew no sin. He pleased God from the start of his life to the end of his life. Jesus pleased the Father. He pleased the Father. So that was what made everything about him powerful. He pleased God. He pleased his Father to the point of death. He was obedient to the point of death. That was what made his wounds to be able to take away our sins. Remember that verse says he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, when you get a wound, you start bleeding. So his blood was able to take away sin because he was a holy man. He was a pure man. He knew no sin. And this is different from what many Christians and ministers of God seems to stand for at this time. Because some people feel like living in sin cannot hinder the power of God. We feel like living in sin cannot hinder the grace of God. I don't know where they saw that in the Bible. And I don't know who taught them that. Because even Jesus wouldn't have resurrected if he was a sinful man. Yeah, and everything he did would have been a waste if he was a sinful man. Don't forget that he was also tempted. Just the way you are also being tempted by Satan. Yeah, if you read Matthew chapter 4, you're going to see the temptations of Jesus. Was tempted with food because he was hungry. That's the way you can be hungry and have hunger. That's the way you can be hungry too. Was tempted with the riches and wealth. Satan told him he's going to give him all the riches and wealth in the world. But he refused. He was also tempted with pride. Satan told him to throw himself down from a very high place so that the angels of God can appear suddenly to save him. But he did not yield to the temptation. So now, Jesus, because of you and I, because he must be spotless and blameless sacrificial lamb. Yeah, because he must be spotless and blameless so that his death will be powerful enough to take away the sins of the world. He kept himself, disciplined himself. Have you read in a place, I think is in John chapter 15. There's no time I would have been showing you those verses one by one, but go and read in John 15. You will see. You will see it in John 15 where Jesus himself said that he sanctifies himself. That he sanctifies himself. So that the disciples, when they hear his messages, they also can be sanctified. Yeah, so don't just say because he is Jesus, he's the Son of God, so he cannot be tempted. He can just be pure naturally. It's a lie. He was tempted just like you and I. Yeah, he was exposed to the weaknesses you also have been exposed to right now. He was exposed to temptations, to issues of life, just as you also you are going through issues of life right now. So Jesus was exposed to everything. Everything was exposed to women, exposed to money, exposed to everything. All kinds of temptations. But yet, he said, I sanctify myself. Let me read that, please. In John chapter 15. Oh, not 15, John 17. Yeah. In John 17. John 17, verse 19. John 17, verse 19. And for their sins I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And for their sins I sanctify myself. For your sake, he sanctified himself, so that the truth that he preaches, will also be able to sanctify you. So that the truth about the power in his blood, the power in his name, will be able to produce results in your life. So Jesus sanctified himself to present a life-changing gospel. Not just to present, to establish a life-changing gospel and a life-changing covenant for the whole world. And it succeeded. So the question is, do you also sanctify yourself? Yeah, so don't think the blood of sanctified Jesus will work for an unsanctified Christian. Yeah, let me repeat myself. Don't think that the blood of sanctified Jesus will work for an unsanctified Christian. Yeah, it will not. It will not. The person who died and shed that blood sanctified himself to the point of death. He kept himself pure. And then you now want to benefit from the blood. You are not ready to keep yourself pure. Of course, the blood is for sinners, but it's not just for sinners, it's for repented sinners. Yeah, it's for sinners that repent, not just sinners. Yeah, so you can't remain a sinner and expect that the blood of Jesus will work in your life. It can never happen. Why? Because of the way that blood was shed. The blood wasn't shed in sin. The blood was shed in holiness, in purity. Yeah. And it will walk through that pattern. If it was shed in holiness, then it will walk through holiness. If it was shed in purity, then it will walk through purity. So don't let anyone deceive you. You want the sacrifice of Jesus to walk in your life. You must hate sin. You must fight sin with everything that is in you. Yeah. The power of God is not in the ability to fast for many days. I'm telling you the truth. The power of God is not in the ability of any man to fast for days, to pray for hours. That's not where the power of God is. The power of God is not in the ability to flow under, to flow in the anointing, or to flow with the anointing, or to flow with spiritual gifts, or to sustain yourself in a way that the Holy Spirit can use you. That's not where the power of God is. The power of God is in holiness. I'm telling you the truth. The power of God, I mean the raw power of God, is in holiness. Yeah. What brought Jesus from the grave is not because he was the Son of God. It was holiness that brought him out of the grave. Let me show you. It was holiness that brought Jesus out of the grave. I think it's in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. Or maybe I should read from verse 3. Romans chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You can see that. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, which is also the same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also the same with the Spirit of holiness. By the resurrection from the dead. Yeah. So it was holiness. Because it was holy. That was the emphasis King James Version was given to us. That because of his holiness, the Spirit in his holiness, or the power in his holiness, that was what made him to rise from the grave. Yeah, so how could people say they have the Holy Spirit and they do not have holiness? I don't know the Holy Spirit that they have. I don't think it is the Holy Spirit. I think it's a demon spirit that they have. After people say they have the Holy Spirit and they don't have holiness, does it make sense? Even you, does it make sense to you? It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense? You say you have the Holy Spirit, and then you don't have holiness. Yeah. Does that make sense? It doesn't. It doesn't, because to have the Holy Spirit is to have holiness. Yeah, because anything that is holy stays in a holy place. Anything that is holy does not tolerate sin. Does not feel comfortable in an environment of sin. Yeah, so many people, they are just being used by the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit using you to get rid of you later in the future. Yeah, when he's done with you. And he's using you because he doesn't have a replacement yet. But he doesn't have a replacement at that moment, at that time. There's a difference between Holy Spirit using you and that Holy Spirit inhabiting you. So many Christians, they are just being used by the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. I know what it means to have the Holy Spirit. You think it's easy to have the Holy Spirit? I mean to keep Him. That's what I mean by have. So, you know, when you have money, you keep it in your pocket. And that's when you say you have. And I know what it means to have the Holy Spirit. I know the sacrifices, the discipline it requires, the selflessness, the pains it requires. Yeah, you, of course, there is grace to make us holy, but you have your own part to play in becoming holy. Because if Jesus says, sanctify himself, who are you to think you can just be holy without doing anything? You have your own part to play to be holy. Yeah. It's a part that it is God that does it. But then there's another part that it is you that do it. Because you have to prove before heaven and earth that you really love this God. And that you want to please Him. You have to put your flesh to death. You have to crucify your flesh. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding. Now let's look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. For he hath made him to be sin for us. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. You can see God turned him into sin. There's no time I would have shown you more things, especially things that pertains to intercession. Yeah. Maybe when I'm talking to intercessors, I will show them those things. But yeah. So, but the first and the greatest intercessor is Jesus, or was Jesus the first and the greatest intercessor? Was Jesus, and is Jesus, because he's still doing the intercession. He started it on the cross. Yeah, on the cross where he died. So, God turned him into sin. You know, when you become sin, is more than when you commit sin. Yeah, you know, he did not know sin. There was no sin in him. He was a righteous man, a pure man, a clean man. He was pure, clean, holy. And then God now turned an holy man into sin. Not that God made him to commit sin. That is still small. God God made him sin. That is the highest level of darkness. To become sin is the highest or the deepest level of darkness. Is deeper than committing sin. Or maybe I should use the word, is more terrible or is more evil than committing sin. To become sin. Yeah, I think evil is the word. To become sin is more evil than committing sin. I don't know if I'm getting the point. Yeah, if God made him to commit sin, that is still not serious. Yeah, that is still not serious. But God turned him into sin. That is the highest point in darkness. That is the deepest, that's the deepest point in darkness. It's more like saying God turned him into evil. Something that doesn't know evil. Something that was never evil. That was turned into evil. Was turned into sin. Yeah, that's what it means. It was made to commit sin. So it was turned into sin. It became sin because of us. Now why would God make someone that have no sin to become sin? Because God knows that even if he becomes sin, he will still not sin. Yeah, are you getting it? So he became sin to destroy sin. That's why he became sin. He became sin to destroy sin so that he can set us free, human beings that have been born as slaves to sin. You know, we humans were born into the world as slaves to sin naturally. So that Jesus can rescue people like us. That was why he became sin. So he became sin to destroy sin. Because sin cannot have power over him. Yeah, so he was turned into sin to destroy sin. And he destroyed sin when he resurrected. When he resurrected from the grave, he destroyed sin. He destroyed He destroyed hell. He conquered sin. He conquered the sicknesses and diseases, which of course is inside sin and death. Then he conquered death and he conquered hell. He conquered the grave through his resurrection. But before that time, he was turned into sin. Yeah, and he prevailed over sin. I just felt I should take time to break it down. So when Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, so you now know what it means. That he actually became sin because of us. To destroy our transgressions, to destroy sin. In the Old Testament, their sins were never taken away. In the Old Testament, all the blood of the goats and animals were not removing sins from people's lives. To remove sin from someone's life is to remove what is causing that sin, what is making that person sin. That is actually what it means to take away sin from someone's life, is to remove the root of the sin. So in the Old Testament, nothing could remove the root of sin from people. And that was why they kept on offering the sacrifices. They kept on offering the goats, the cattle, the lamb, and all of that. They kept on offering those animals Even the high priest kept on going into the holies of holies once in a year to offer sacrifices both for himself and for the people. So they kept on offering sacrifices because there was no provision to take away their sins. So those blood was just covering the sin. Those blood of animals was just covering the sin. It was not removing it. So the only sacrifice that was able and it's still able to remove sin completely, as if the person never sinned before, is the sacrifice Jesus did on the cross. Do you now understand? Hallelujah. I think we should sing and shout and dance because of the sacrifice of Jesus, which is the only sacrifice that could take away sin. Yeah. So anything that takes away sin must take away the cost of that sin. So, and Jesus was able to destroy the nature of sin. So he did something that was able to destroy the root, the cause of sin that is in human beings, which is the Adamic nature, the flesh. So if up to now you have not really cried to God that he should deliver you from sin through the sacrifice of Jesus and his resurrection, I mean through the power that is in the sacrifice of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, then you're just wasting your time becoming a Christian or attending programs. Because the real essence of Christianity is experiencing that deliverance from sin. I'm telling you, that's the essence of Christianity. Any other thing is just secondary. The primary reason for becoming a Christian is to be free from sin. If you have not called unto God to use the power in Jesus' death and resurrection to deliver you from sin, from the sinful nature, that you have not prayed upon, and it means you have been wasting your time following Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, when the angel announced to Mary, the angel said that he shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the main reason why Jesus came, to save people from their sins. Because sin was the only problem man have. You think sickness is a problem? No, it's not. You think barrenness is a problem? Poverty is a problem? Suffering? Name all the problems you know human beings, you know that human beings have on earth. I'm telling you, they are no problem at all. You want to know the real problem? The real problem is sin. I'm telling you the truth. The real problem is the sinful nature, the nature of sin that is in humans, that makes them to misbehave and sin against God. That is the real problem. So, and that was what God, that was why God sent Jesus into the world. That was the only problem that got God's attention, or that God really cared about. And the reason is because If that problem is dealt with in your life, forget it. You don't have a problem anymore, and you won't have problem anymore. If you think I'm wrong, start a walk with God from today that is free of sin. You just start to walk with God in complete purity and holiness. Not the fake one that you are just trying to show people on the outside that you are holy, but the real one that starts from the heart. The real holiness, fear of God, love of God, purity that starts from the heart. You start to walk with God in that way from today. Confirm if all other problems in your life will not disappear after a short time. I'm telling you the truth. You will, with your eyes, begin to see every other problem disappearing. This is what I have experienced. I'm not telling you theory. If you walk with God in genuine holiness and purity, you will, with your eyes, Not fake one, not fake holiness, real holiness. You will, with your eyes, see your problems disappear one by one. I mean, every other problem, they will be disappearing one by one. One by one. You can't find them again. So the only problem we have as humans is sin. I'm telling you the truth. And the good news is that the problem has been fixed. It has been solved on the cross. But many Christians don't want to be free from sin. So my conclusion is that people don't want to be free from sin. Not that what we make them free is not available. That's my conclusion. But what we set them free is already here on earth. The grace is available. I pray that you will lend wisdom. In Jesus' name, let's move to point number two. Once again, don't forget, the topic says understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. Point number two. I hope you have gotten your water ready, because I'm going to pray on your water for your healing and deliverance. Now, before you join the program, always, not when I want to pray on the water that you now rush and get the water, before you join the program, always set aside a bottle of water, a cup of water. Yeah, because I'm going to pray on it. Yeah, so let us move to point number two. His wounds and pains are still alive. His wounds, that is, the wounds of Jesus and the pains of Jesus, the pains he went through on the cross, those wounds and pains are still alive. They are still happening as we speak. The wounds are still alive. So which means there is a version of Jesus that is in pain right now as I'm talking to you. It's a mystery, but you have to agree with me. Yeah, that there is a version of Jesus that is still in pain as I'm talking right now. That still have wounds, fresh wounds, which blood is is dropping. I mean, fresh wounds from which blood is dropping out. Yeah, we have that version right now as I'm talking to you. So there is a version of Jesus that is going through pain right now, bleeding right now. Of course, Jesus has been glorified. He has gone through that. But God has kept those sacrifices alive. Though he had already went through that, but God kept it alive. God kept each of those phases of his life alive. So when he was being beaten and he was nailed on the cross, that phase of his life is still alive as I'm talking to you. When he was buried, that phase too is still alive. And when he resurrected, that phase is also still alive. Now, you might not understand these things because it's mysterious, but it's real. Now, if those faces are not alive, why is it that you call on the blood of Jesus and it work for you? If Jesus is not still bleeding, why is his blood still flowing? And why is it that when we call on that blood, we see miracles instantly? It is because he's still bleeding. Yeah, he's still bleeding. It's not like the blood was kept somewhere. The kingdom of God does not work like that. It's not like his blood. His blood itself is still alive and still fresh, just as the time they killed him, or the time, you know, just as when he was nailed to the cross. As fresh as it is, the blood is still fresh. So if the blood is still fresh, then that means he's still bleeding. And that means he's still in pains. I don't know if you're getting the revelation. Yeah, so the pains and the blood of Jesus, they are still alive. There was a time during our prayer session, a midnight prayer session, that we're using those covenant elements of Jesus, those covenant tokens of Jesus. We're praying prayers like the power in the pains of Jesus, deliver me from pains, the power in the agony of Jesus, the affliction of Jesus, deliver me from afflictions and from my agony, from my sufferings. Yeah, I don't used to forget prayer sessions, even though we have a lot of prayer sessions we have done. There are some prayers I cannot forget, some prayers that we prayed in those sessions that I cannot forget. Yeah, so the pains of Jesus is still alive. Yeah, now let's look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Now if his pains isn't alive, it will not be working for us. It will be working now. Just the way his blood is alive. Also his pains, his wounds, they are still alive. Fresh, like the day he was crucified. Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Can you see that? The chastisement of our peace. So if you are going through pains, you can pray this prayer like, you can pray a prayer like this. You can say in the name of Jesus, let the power, let the authority in the pain of Jesus terminate this pain. Actually, you went through pain so that, number one, you will not go through pain, and then number two, if it happens that you must go through pain, so that you can connect with the power in his pain, for your pain to disappear. I don't know if you're getting it. These things I'm telling you, they are not theory, because they have worked in my life. Yeah. They have worked in my life. I cannot tell you the kind of pains I have gone through. You don't want to hear that. Yeah. But my point is that if you pray this kind of prayer, it can be any pain. Yeah, whether emotional pain, psychological pain, physical pain, any pain, you just pray that prayer and say, let the authority, let the power in the pains of Jesus terminate this pain that I am going through right now. I'm telling you, almost instantly, the pain will start going. I'm telling you, this is not theory. This is practical. If it doesn't work, I will not tell you. Yeah, because it has worked in my life. Yeah, so the chastisement of our peace is upon him. So, which means that for us to have peace, he was chastised so that we can have peace. So God knows that there is trouble in this world. He knows there is evil in this world, wickedness, torment. He knows. That was why he made that provision for us in Jesus. Yes, he said we'll go through tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, be happy. Be happy. Because I have overcome the world. So, there's nothing wrong in going through tribulations, but you can go through it in peace. No matter how tough the tribulation is, you can go through problems in peace. If you know the right thing to do in the place of prayer, you will just be at peace and be at rest inside of you. Whereas on the outside, everybody think you should be panicking, you should be sad, you should be sorrowful. But you are going through a lot, but you are just peaceful inside you. You are just calm. And you are just happy. And nobody can explain. Even you might not be able to explain it to people why you are just so happy and peaceful. That is the power in the peace of Jesus. There's no time. I want to read another scripture. But you can write it down and check on your at your own free time. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. It talks about Jesus being a different kind of high priest. Yeah, he entered into the holies of holies once and final to offer that sacrifice. So Jesus offered himself. Whereas the other high priest, they used to offer animals. Only Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice. Point number three, he lost peace. So you can have peace. He lost peace. So you can have peace. Jesus lost peace. So you can have peace. I pray that you will have peace in the name of Jesus. And any power of darkness, any creature, whether visible or invisible, that don't want you to have peace, they will be utterly destroyed by the anger of God. In the name of Jesus, you will have peace, whether the devil likes it or not. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, let us go to point number four. Point number four says he was sick, so you can be healed. He was sick, so you can be healed. So that is an heart of intercession. Intercession means that someone takes your place, especially someone takes the position of your life. How should I explain it? It means that someone takes the position of that bad aspect of your life, that unpleasant aspect of your life. So someone takes that position so that you will be taken away from that position. So that you will be removed from that position. More like taking your place, what you should have gone through. He decided to go through it so that you will not go through it. So that is intercession, because he has the authority and the power to actually go through it and conquer that thing. So he just stepped in for you and tell you, you can leave here. I will handle this. That is intercession. And that was what Jesus did. Naturally, he cannot fall sick. He don't fall sick because he is life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So you cannot be eternal life and sick. It's not possible. Sickness is according to death, not according to life. But he became sick and he died so that we will not fall sick and so that we will not die. So because he died very young, you should not die young, and you should not die untimely. When it's not your time to leave this earth, you should not die. The apostles, they knew these secrets. That was why they were not scared of preaching the gospel. So the apostles, they knew this secret. They knew that they cannot die if it's not the appointed time to die. But they were not afraid to go to places that they could kill them. They could get them killed. They were not afraid to go to those places to share the gospel, because they know that nobody can kill them if it is not yet their time to leave this earth. They know that. Do you know that? Do you agree with that? If yes, why are you so scared of dying? Do you think you can just die? Several times I thought I would die, because I've gone through hell. As young as I am, I've gone through hell. Why? Because I'm a target to the kingdom of darkness. Yeah, they don't want me alive. Yeah, they don't want me alive. I mean, right to them. They want me dead. The kind of attacks that I get is more than you getting a gunshot. It's more than you getting a gunshot. I get serious attacks from the dark kingdoms. Yeah, but I'm not afraid, because I can't say because of the attacks. I will not do the work of God anymore, or I will not continue to fight them. No. Why? Because I know I cannot die before my time. I know it is impossible. Yeah, do you know that? As a Christian, do you know that it is impossible for you to die before your time? Do you believe that? If you believe that, then why are you scared of dying? Yeah, why are you scared? So Jesus died young so that we would live to fulfill our days, so that we would not die untimely. That was why he died young. Yeah, so he was sick so that we can be healed. I pray that the Lord will help you to walk in the understanding of this truth, in the understanding of this covenant that we have in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. We're going to pray. Then I will pray for you and on your water. Firstly, I want you to thank God for this provision that we have in Christ Jesus, that we have through Christ Jesus. So we just say, Father, thank you for this provision. This provision of grace, this provision of mercy, this provision of deliverance, healing, that is available to us, available to me, in Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and begin to thank God. Begin to thank God. There is no Christianity without these provisions. There is no Christianity without this provision. in Q1. I believe you are thanking him. Say, Father, thank you for the provision of forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins and the provision of removal of sins. Deliverance from sin that is in Jesus for me. Say, Father, thank you for the provision of healing that is in Jesus for me. Say, Father, thank you for the provision of salvation and redemption that is in Jesus for me. Say, Father, thank you for the provision of restoration, the provision of prosperity that is in Jesus for me. He was poor so that we can be rich. Thank God. He willed all his riches to us. All the riches he would have spent in his lifetime. He willed all of them to us. And even after his death, God gave him everything. He willed all of them to us as well. So thank you for the provision of prosperity that is in Jesus for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the provision of strength, grace, anointing, power, dominion, authority that you have placed in Jesus for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the provision of freedom from sin, from sicknesses, from Satan, from demons, from witchcraft attacks. Provision of freedom and dominion that you have placed in Jesus for me. Thank you, Father, for that provision. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Two more prayer points. You're going to place your right hand on your head. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, I want to have you in my life. I don't want you to just use me. I want to have you in my life. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, make me to the person that can have you. Make me to the person that can become a house for you, a tabernacle for you, a temple for you. Make me to the person that is pure and holy, the person that can accommodate you. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to have you. I don't want you to just use me. I want to have you in me, in my life. I want my life to be a home for you, an habitation for you, a dwelling place for you, a temple for you. I want to be holy for you. I want to be pure for you. The Holy Spirit changed me into the person that can accommodate you. Change me into the person that can house you. Change me, Holy Spirit. Make me holy. Make me pure. Help me live a pure life, so that my life can be your resting place, and I and you can have fellowship together anytime. Make my life your home, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The last prayer point. I'm going to pray that prayer point again that I told you we prayed some time ago about the power in the pains of Jesus. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, let the power in the pain of Jesus manifest in me right now to terminate every pain in my life. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, let the power in the pain of Jesus, let the power in the affliction of Jesus, in the agony of Jesus, manifest in me right now to terminate my pains. Open your mouth and pray like that. To terminate the root of my pain. To terminate my pain from the root. My flesh is dead, death is still in hand. This is Allah. The shed dead to this is Hatashana. Let the power in the pain and suffering of Jesus on the cross manifest in me right now, to end my pains and sufferings right now. Hope you are praying like that. This program can just be meant for you. This program might just be because of you, because of one person here. Yeah. It doesn't have to be because of everyone. Pray this prayer seriously. Maybe it's just because of you this program is holding today. Pray that prayer seriously. Pray in the name of Jesus, let the power in the pains and affliction of Jesus manifest in me right now to terminate my pain. pains and affliction. You contaminate my pains and suffering in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Continue to pray. Something is happening to you as you are praying this prayer. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Say in the name of Jesus, let the power in the pain, in the pains of Jesus, in the affliction of Jesus on the cross, appear in me right now. Let it appear in my body. Let it appear in my soul. Let it appear in my spirit. To heal me now of my pains. To destroy the roots of my pains. To destroy the substance of my pains. It destroys the demons causing me pains right now in the name of Jesus. Let the power in the suffering, in the pain of Jesus on the cross, in the affliction of Jesus on the cross, set me free from my affliction. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your life is no longer the same again. Do you know that? Can you feel that? Do you believe that? Your life is no longer the same again. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you now. Yeah. Set your water before you. Or you can hold it with your hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your power that does not fail. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the interventions we have gotten from you already. Thank you for the authority you have enthroned in the blood of Jesus for us, in the pains and wounds of Jesus for us, in the death and resurrection of Jesus for us. Thank you, Father, for those authorities you have enthroned so that we can apply these redemption elements at any time and see great results. Thank you for giving us such authority and dominion. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, because you have already touched your people. You have already healed them. You have already saved them. Thank you, Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you also touch the water that your people have presented before you right now. O Lord, touch this water. Fill this water with your fire. Fill this water with authority for healing, for deliverance, in Jesus' name. I decree that every time you are using and applying this water on yourself, it shall be equal to applying the blood of Jesus on your life. Every time you carry this water to use, it will turn to the blood of Jesus. And you will see instant miracles, instant deliverances, instant healings, and instant breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I pray that whoever you give this water to for healing shall also be healed and delivered in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name.